Today's share in the Dershu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Omud Aleph. We're in the sixth volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we're beginning Simin Tof Resh Tzadi Aleph, which deals with the halachos of Dinei Ksivas HaMegillah Utfirasa, writing a Kasher Megillah and the binding of the Megillah, the sewing it up. So the Mechaber begins Sif Aleph. In Kotsin HaMegillah, you're not allowed to write a Megillah other than Ela B'dio. It has to be with a certain type of black ink, which we'll talk about. Al HaGvil, it has to be on a certain type of parchment, or Al HaKlaf, or another type of parchment. We'll define all these terms in a moment. And this is the same halacha Kisefer Torah, just like Kisefer Torah has to be written. So now let's understand this. We go to the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph. He says, Ayin Le'el, when we had the halachas of Tefillin in Simin Lamed Beis, Sif Gimel, and in the Hagav, in the Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah Shom over there. Now, what are those dinim? So, the issue footnote number one reminds us that the Ramah over there had said, L'chatchila, yesh lichtov b'dio, you have to write with an ink, ke'asui me'ashan etzim, that was made from the char of burning wood, or ashan shmonim, or from the char, the smoke of oils, hashruyim b'me'afatzim, that were also soaked in gallnut juices. And that is what's called dio. And the Mishnah Berurah over there, as well as the Bir Halach over there, said that the kavanah of the Ramah was shelechatchila yesh lahachmir shelo lasos es hadio. Ideally, lechatchila should make sure that this dio, this ink, should not be shelo lasos es hadio mimei afotzim shemu'ura behem guma o kankantum. That ideally, it shouldn't have in it guma, is like a gum resin, and kankantum is usually translated as something like copper water or ferrous sulfate. Kivan sha'az haksav enu nimchak, because that makes it too indelible, and ideally it should be something that could be erased. Ulechatchila yesh lichtov stam b'chsav sheyochol limachik. Ideally, stam, which is a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, should be written with something that could be erasable. However, the Bi'ur Halacha adds over there, shitochin shekavanas haramah lomar shelechatchila that this is only a lechatchila, that to be going with the stricter sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, that it has to be something, shedio eino kol dover she tzivo shocher. It's not anything to just a black color. Eladavko, it has to be, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it must be dover she bov min eitz, it should be something that comes from wood. So therefore, that's to be yotzi, the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, that's why the Ramah said that. The Mishnah Berurah added over there, even according to the Ramah, ein ze ela mitzvah min hamuchar. Even the Ramah says that's only the ideal way to do this, but certainly doesn't ruin it if you add to it guma or kankantum. And he says, ladina mutlasos dio, one is permitted l'chatchila to even make the dio, mimei afatzim, from this gallnut juices, shemuravim b'hem guma v'kankantum, that have mixed in with them this gum resin or this copper water or ferrous sulfate. And he says, in fact, nowadays, this is the way that they do it. Lasos is a dio, they make this black ink, mitaruvish shloshtan, and they combine all three of them and then they cook them. If you don't add the guma and the kantom nowadays, it would actually not be a good ink. So therefore, that is what the Ramah said back in Simin Lamed Beis in Hilchos Tefillin. So you're writing with this dio al hagvil. Now what is gvil? So Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis tells us who are. This is a hide, shelo nechlak, that hasn't been split in two. You have a hide that has the outer aspect, which is the part that's the skin on it, with the hair on it, and then you have the inner aspect, which is the side that's closer towards the internal organs, the busser side. Velo husar mimenu rakaseyar b'tiknu shom. So here he's referring to, you have an entire hide. It has both the inner aspect, the half that's closer towards the meaty inner side muscle, and then you have the outer half that is closer towards the hair, and it hasn't been split down the middle. So it's one hide, an intact hide, that's called gevil. So nothing is missing from the inside, you just have the hair from the outside, and that is called a gevil. Or al haklaf, siv kotin gimel, ayin le'el, and simin lamed bey, siv zayin, in hilchus Tefillin, where it said over there what these halachas are. And now we can look at Dershu footnotes number 2 and 3 to see what was said over there. Now, Dershu footnote number 2 brings down Minog L'maisa. So Ramah writes, Shenoagim lichtov sifrei Torah ala klaf v'lo halagvil. That the common custom is to do and use klaf. Now klaf again is when you split the gvil, you split the entire parchment, and you use only the half that's on the outer aspect, and you don't use the part that is towards the inner meaty, fleshy, muscle part, as we'll see in a moment. It's better to write it on only half of the hide as opposed to the entire hide, which is the gevil. The Taz and the Shach say over there, Shaklav shuhusu menu kolachele kapnimi hatsomud lebosser, that the cloth is the side that is missing the entire inner aspect, the half that's towards the muscle, who yosir noa megvil, that is preferable to write on than the entire hide, which is called the gvil. The gam yosir kam mimenu, and it's lighter and it's better to use. Now we see Deir Shifu number 3, where he writes, the Shulchan Aruch there says, Shebishas ibur or habehema. At the time that they would tan the hide, they would go and process the hide of the animal and make it into a parchment. Hayunogim, during the days of the Talmud, lachlok esor beoval lushnaim, they would split it in its middle along its thickness, so you'd have an inner aspect, which is the muscle side, and then the outer aspect, which was the hair side. And the cloth part is the outer half, which is the part that was closer to the hair. And the inner part, which is closer, that half is called nikra duchsustus. And therefore, you have two components making up gvil. You have the outer part, which is the cloth part, and duchsustus part, which is the inner part. Now, the kosvin ala cloth bitzido hapnimi hakorv lebasa. And which side would they write on it? They would write it on the outer half, on the inner aspect of the outer half, the one that was closer to the basar. So again, you have the two halves. You have the outer half, which is the cloth part, and then you have a outer aspect of that and an inner aspect of that. So you'd write it on this cloth part, which was the outer half, on its inner part, the one that was closer towards the muscle. And that's the ideal place and way to write cloth. The hainu, b'mokum chibur l'duchsustus, that is the part that is adjacent to the duchsustus, to the inner half of the hide. That's the best place to go and write on a parchment. Now, the Deir Shifu number 3 continues, says, b'zmanenu, this is during the days, o mimei harishonim already, ein noagim lachluk esor l'shnayim. This was during the days of Gemara that they broke it up into the cloth and the duchsustus. But nowadays, already from the times of Rishonim, they didn't split it. What would they do? They would scrape away the inner half until there was almost no inner half left. Most of the duchsustus, the inner half, was rubbed away. And on the other side, the outer part, which we called the cloth part, so mekalfin ma'at es kliposo, while Yona, they would go rub away a little bit of the outer part, kedei lahoridus haseyor, to remove all the hair, ulahachlikasor, and to smooth it out. So therefore, you essentially, already from the time the Rishonim didn't split it in half, but you rubbed it away, so you essentially left with just the cloth. And that's the ideal way to write it on the inner aspect of the cloth. And this is what the Mechaber said is kisefer Torah. This is the way that we make kisefer Torah as well. Now, the Mechaber continues and says, "Vim kosva b'mei afotzim." If you use the gallnut juices, the kankantum, which we said is this copper water or this ferrosulfate, and you added that to it, kshera, it is good. As we pointed out, even lechatchila, it's good. It's not only b'diavad, but lechatchila, they would ideally used to make it without adding the kankantum. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Dalet tells us, "Ein in the taz, the shem kesef Mishnah, the machshir shiru b'mei afotzim, haynu imguma." The point is, they also added this guma, this gum resin. If you just use the gallnut, then it's no good. And this is, in fact, the Chayin Iskima Agrob of the Yerud, the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary, also says the same thing. It's really the gallnut juices, the me'afotzim, with some of this guma, this gum resin. The Chayin Kankantum, when they add this Kankantum, the Machshirinon, Hainu Bimei Kankantum, they would add it over here with the water that was soaking in this copper water or this ferrous sulfate. Dilu Kankantum Luchud, the Vadi Pasu, the Kankantum itself is definitely no good. Deir Shifu number 4 brings down for the Bir Halacha over there again in Hilchos Tefillin. Shevi Shapri Megodim, his topic was Iladina. He's not sure im Koshev Kankantum Luchud or Bimei Afasim Luchud, whether either one alone would be good. Ulai Evshu, he says, Lasus Diel Mikol Dovish Shitzvo Shachar. You could actually make it from either one of them alone, like the Rambam, and that's brought down in the Bir Halacha over there. Now we continue the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Vagora b'deivuro pirish." The Vilna Gaon over there in the Bira Gros says, "The mash amar b'mei afotzim v'kankantum." That which we say that using the gallnut juices and the kankantum, haynu shekosa b'shneim uvar yachad. It's all mixed together. And he says, "Ein leel and simin lamibes sivgimel and hilchos tefillin." Over there in the Bira Halacha, the Ramaslu shelo v'chule. And you can see what this is in the issue footnote number 5, where the Gros mistapek as to Hayim Hadio Kosher Rakish Ir Meafatim Mim Kankantum Guma. Is it Meafatim only good if you mix it with the Kankantum or the Guma? Oshem Hadio Kosher Gam Kishir Kankantum Guma Luchot. If the Kankantum and the Guma were by themselves, even without the Meafatim. I end the rest of that footnote for additional details. Mechaber continues, he says, Utsricha Sirtut, you have to go and etch out the lines. We said you chisel out the lines so it should be straight and beautiful. Ketorah Atzma, just like it's written in the Sefer Torah. Although Tefillin don't have to have this, but Sefer Torah and the Megillah do have to have this. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Hey, Hainu Al Koshita Vashita, every line has to have this. And Dirshu footnote number 6 brings down from the Bi Halacha over there by Hilchos Tefillin that his stopbeik, Linyan Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, Hamilvad Sirtut Kol Ashura, Sarech Lisarte, Gam Minat Stodim. In addition to each line, you also have to have it on the right margin and on the left margin. So that's a question for Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. And he writes, B'di'evet, ein l'hach mezeh, you don't have to be machmir to have that right margin and left margin. And certainly, b'frat, l'fiv mashakosa, in shel tzuris ha-radvaz, shetam esirtu t'kdeh l'yashir es-ashuris, the whole purpose is to make it beautiful in the lines, that they should be in order, b'vadeh ein l'hach mezeh, therefore you don't have to be machmir. And he says, if you didn't do the tzirtut l'shma, so it brings down over there, in regards to Sefer Torah Mezuzah, Shemikra din ain tzarech sirtut lishma. You don't need the sirtut lishma. So af kivon sheyesh achronim shemachmirin b'sirtut shelo lishma, afilu b'di'evet. There are those that disagree and say you must have it. So therefore, l'chatchila nachon lochosh l'divrayim al koponim l'chatchila. You should try l'chatchila to have kavana to do the sirtut lishma. And according to this, the tefillin, everybody agrees shelo chodeos ain tzarech sirtut lishma. Tefillin don't need sirtut lishma. Sivkot involved, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ketorah Atzma, this has to be just like the Sirtut has to be like in the Torah. V'al kein, chak tuchos possible. So if you do something that basically compresses the parchment and doesn't actually write the osio, so let's say you have a samach, a circular samach, and you press down and you push down on the inside of the samach and then on the surrounding area outside the samach, so you're left, so to say, like with a raised samach, that's no good. That's possible. That's not considered that you wrote a letter samach. Vidavka biruba, and this would only go to possible it if you have the majority of it. Avo miyuta, if you have only a little bit of it, karsha b'di'evet, that would be good b'di'evet, because it can't be any words, logar mihishmet, it can't be any worse than if you didn't have it at all. Which we said, le'el and simon tofer isadi, siv gimel, ayin sham prati advarim, which is said over there, that as long as it wasn't an entire inyan, or if it didn't have the majority, then it would be acceptable. The issue, footnote number 8, reminds us, Shekasa Ramosh Shama, Shem Hishmit Es Kilosa, if you're missing the beginning, or so for the end, and V'tochin Shafim Hishmit Rakis Apasuk Rishon Achon, even the first Pasuk, the last Pasuk, so then that would ruin it. Oh, in Mishmit Be'em Tzah, in Yishalom, or if you had an entire Sugi in the middle, that would also ruin it. Hamagila Psula, Afapi Shishmit Rak Miut Mimena, even though a percentage point of view, it's only a small amount, it nearets Kisefer Chaser. It looks like it's missing something significant, so it looks like a missing Sefer. Now we go back to Rabbi. The Rabbi says, "V'ein or shalot tzorech li'abe lishma." The hide itself, when you're making it into the parchment, it doesn't have to have ibud. The tanning doesn't have to be lishma l'shem megillah. However, he brings down the yeshomrim, and this you can see in the Be'er Hagola Ozvav is the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam. Shesorech ibud lishma, that you do in fact need ibud lishma. And the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Zayin tells us v'chein pasak the Maran mints in Simon Samach Aleph, which you see in the Shaar HaTzion Ozdal. This says b'di'evet yesh lahatir. B'di'evet, we can rely upon it. B'di'evet is defined in Dishu, footnote number 10, as after you've read the Megillah, so the Pre-Chodesh says, you're ready with Yotze, B'di'evet, so that's acceptable. Dishu, footnote number 9, points out, as I had pointed out from the Bir Hagola, that this Shita that says it needs Ibud Lishma is Rabbeinu Tam, as brought down in the Tur, and the opinion of the Rambam, as brought down in Hilchos Megillah, is Ain't Tzarech Ibud Lishma. He's the one that says that you don't require Ibud Lishma, and the Tur brings that down as well, and you can see it's the Bir Hagola, Os Hei. The rest of the Yerusha, footnote number 9, has a further discussion about this Ayin Shom. Sif Beis, the Mechaber writes, Haysa Kesuva Al Haniyor, if you wrote the Megillah on a piece of paper, Al Or She'enam Uvud, or on a hide, a skin that wasn't processed, or Oshik Sova Akum, or a non-Jewish person wrote it, O Apikoros, a person who's a heretic, Psula, in all of these situations, it's not a kosher Megillah. Furthermore, V'dinah, the Mechaber writes, Kisefer Torah L'idyon Hekev Gvil. There is a halacha that you require Hekev Gvil. That means every letter, every single letter. Now, the issue footnote number 12 brings down, this is only when you're writing with Ksav Ashuris. Paradoxically, if you're writing it in the letters that aren't Ksav Ashuris, so then you technically don't have this din of Hekev Gvil. But the bottom line is that if you're writing it in Ashuris, as all the Megillahs are nowadays, so then every single letter has that parchment, white parchment around it. You can't have the letter going all the way right up to the end of the parchment. So it has to be like a Sefer Torah that you need this Hekev Gevil. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Ches, Al Kol Os. This is for every single letter. And he adds, "V'hu adin l'chol davar." This is true for all the other halachos. V'lochem b'ino she'ishitosel shavim, that the columns have to be all the same size. V'gam she'arocha v'amud gimel l'mishpach haseyam. Each column should be able to write the word l'mishpach haseyam three times. V'chol dinei sefer Torah, and it has as well all the other halachos of the sefer Torah. And the Mechaber continues what some of these things are, for example. So he says, the chatotros hachesen. The ches is really two zions with like a hump in the middle. That's called the chatotros hachesen. And utlias hahein. The hay has to have a left side of the hay that's not connected to the right side of the hay. And similarly, the kufin, the kuf, has the left side of the kuf, the long elongated line, can't be connected to the right side of the kuf. These are all halachos of the ksiva of a Sefer Torah, which apply to a Megillah as well. V'chol gufos ha'osios mitzurasim, the right way that the letters are all shaped, v'chaseros v'yaseros, and whether a word is spelled in a chaser form, let's say it's missing a vav, and that's the proper way to spell it, or there is a vav present, v'yaseros, so they have to have the right print for each of the letters the way it's supposed to be. Finally, the issue footnote number 13 brings down what happens in terms of the din of touching it. We know you're not supposed to touch the Sefer Torah, those are doing the Daf Yomi. At the very end of the Gemara in Megillah, it says that if a person touches the Sefer Torah with his bare hands, so then he'll be buried bare, which means he'll be buried bereft of that mitzvah that he was doing, such as the Aliyah for the Torah, if he then touches the Sefer Torah with his bare hands. So, le'inyanim, also lingoa b'yodayim b'klatha Megillah k'mo b'Sefer Torah. There's this din of not being allowed to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Does that apply to Megillah as well? So, this is very, very common. By Sefer Torah, everybody knows and everybody's careful. But by Megillah, everybody's holding on to the Megillah, so you're allowed to hold on to the Megillah with your bare hands. So he brings down from the Ramah, Shiyesh Olshem, there are those that they say you can't. However, Hachamino Ga'olim L'Hakim was there, but people are very lenient on this. The Tov L'Hach B'Shalo Lingo B'Klaf El L'Yachat Til Sidayim. Therefore, the best suggestion, which is what I always do, is I always wash my hands before I go and touch the Megillah. You should wash the Til Sidayim before you touch the Megillah. Shema Noga B'Mokom Metunah, because maybe your hands had touched something dirty, and then technically you shouldn't be touching the Megillah. And he brings down, looking at the Shari Tshuva over here in Sivkot and Dalet as well. And if you look at the Shari Tshuva, under Os Gimel, he has a discussion on the very last line of Kufnun Zayin Amud Aleph that do you need to have a mitpachas, like a mantle, or not for the Megillah? And he concludes his discussion, and he says, "V'ein haminu kedvar, v'ein nisarim klal milikacha Megillah below mitpachas." And he says, people go and touch the Megillah, they hold on to the Megillah without some sort of a mantle. And he says, this is kipshitus divri yashas, le'inyan zed aminu kivin ikeres igeres. It's an igeres below mitpachas sagilo. You don't need to have a mantle, it would be acceptable to hold the Megillah. Again, as we just brought down in the issue of foot number 13, many have the custom to wash their hands beforehand. And then he says, "Vayim tzorich lis'anos kishinoflo Megillas estel aretz k'mo b'Sefer Torah." Does a person have to fast that the Megillah falls on the ground? So Rav Yashiv Zatzal brings down she'ein tzorich lis'anos. You don't have to. And this is also the opinion of Shelos Tshuvos Afarkisod de'inya that says also one doesn't need to fast. With this, we conclude today's shiur.